from actually the text of that song, Psalm 121. We'll read the whole psalm. Starting at verse 1, people of God, this is God's very word. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Well, this evening we're going to be taking a break from the height of our catechism. Before we move on to the new section in the catechism, we're still in the grace section, but we're moving on to prayer now. We'll be going through the Lord's Prayer. But since we're starting home visits coming up this week, yahoo, and we're going to go through our theme for this year's home visits, and our theme is Psalm 121. You know, family visits are actually a good thing for the church. I know some of us think, oh, now we got to keep our house clean before the elders show up, or there's these other things we need to do. But really, family visits are a good thing. They help the health of the church, really. They keep us strong. It's a time where the elders of the church can sit down with everyone and see how they're doing. How's life going? Right? Think of it as the under-shepherds of Christ checking up after the sheep. How are the sheep doing? Are they hungry? Are they hurt? A time just to have a conversation. Maybe a time for some coffee and snacks. I like peanut butter. You never know if I'm there. But tonight, I'm just going to expand on the devotion that I put in your box. So when you leave here, go to your box and grab the devotion that we're going to read for family visits, and just go over, meditate, pray through it. And I'm going to expand that devotion this evening. This year's family visits, we'll be looking at a psalm that was sung by faithful Israelites as they made their way to Jerusalem. God called three major feasts, and he told every able-bodied male Israelite that they needed to go to Jerusalem, and they would come take their families. And as they made their way to Jerusalem, they would sing psalms. They would sing these psalms of ascent. And this is one of those psalms that they would sing on their journey. There are these specific psalms, these songs of ascent. There's actually 15 of them. In the book of Psalms, they start at 120 and they go all the way to 134. These psalms give the Israelites hope as they're on this journey. They would sing these songs. And they would know as they would sing these words that these words were true, that the Lord would preserve them. The Lord would preserve his people as they'd make their way to Jerusalem. And the theme being of Psalm 121 for us to think about is, where do we look for our help on the journey? We're all on the journey. And when times get tough, do we look at ourselves for help? Do we look in the mirror or do we look to the Lord? Right, for those in the Old and New Testament, in order to get to Jerusalem on their journey, many Israelites had to walk hundreds of miles. Right, walk. Not many had donkeys. Not many had carts. They would walk. I don't even like walking very far. They had to walk hundreds of miles sometimes in the heat to get to Jerusalem. From the north, south, east, and west, they would come. Even Jesus took this trek many times. Think of the Gospel of Luke. When Jesus was a boy, we find him taking one of these treks to Jerusalem, this journey. And as they journeyed from their homes, they would pass through valleys, pass by rivers, maybe go through rivers. They would go alongside cliffs, walk by lakes. Some would walk through a wilderness where they'd be thieves and robbers, not to mention wild animals. Right? Think about John the Baptist and Jesus in the wilderness. It wasn't a place you wanted to be. Yet year after year, these Israelites would take this journey to Jerusalem. Most of the time, they would do these trips in big caravans so they could fellowship with one another. And as they made their way close to Jerusalem, they would have to walk up these hills. And that's where we get our text from verse 1. Right? Verse 1 is, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It's the question for anyone on a journey. For anyone going through a trial, where does our help come from? How are we going to make it to the end? See, the world would tell us many ways. Should we listen to them? Most of the time they'd say, well, take it like a man, take your lumps, pick yourself back up and keep moving. That's not the way the Bible tells us to do it. The psalmist gives us the right answer. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. See, it wasn't that they would look to the hills for help. Right? It wasn't the hills that gave them help, was it? But what was resting on top of that hill. Right? As they made their way to the city of Jerusalem, it was on hills. And on the very top of the hill, they could see what? The temple of the Lord. And they would know that's where our help comes from. Not the temple itself, the one who dwelled in it. Right? The Lord gave us our help. This verse is really a confession of faith. We look to the hills. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. The journey was long and the challenges were sometimes overwhelming. Yet the psalmist confessed that his help came from Yahweh. Nobody else. The Creator God, the ultimate promise keeper. See, this is a firm profession of faith in the Almighty God. And beloved, how often do we profess our faith this way? If somebody asked you, where does your help come from? This is the first thing you say out of your mouth, is my help comes from the Lord. See, as we enter worship each Lord's Day, we hear these words, don't we? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. In most Reformed churches, you'll hear this when you show up on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. But they use the words of Psalm 124:8. But it's the same idea. People of God, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I say it every Sunday, twice. It's our confession, right? If you look at your bulletin, if you have a bulletin, it starts off with a call of worship, right? God calls us to worship, just like he called the Israelites to the temple. Then we pray, but then there's this word, votum. Have you looked at the word and thought, man, that's a funny word. Nobody uses words like that anymore. What's a votum? Well, votum is just Latin for vow. What's our vow? Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's our vow. That's how we start our service. Our vow is we find help in nobody else. And you know, in some churches, the congregation says it as one. We all stand up and say, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven. I won't let us do it today. Maybe some other time. But it's our vow. That's where we find our help. Because without him, we're nothing, aren't we? We can do nothing. Right? If he's the creator, then he's also the sustainer. And not only that, not only is he the creator, not only is he the sustainer, but he sent his son, the author and finisher of our faith, for us to look to. As we go on this journey, see, we rely on the Lord for help. See, throughout the gospel, Jesus would look to his Father for strength. Remember this morning we talked about this. He prayed for strength. He would talk to the Father, Lord. It's one of those things that we talked about. Like, do we do this? Do we need strength? Do we seek the Lord? Or do we try to do this on our own? See, Jesus, throughout his journey, knew where his help came from. And we should as well. As we're on this journey, we can find this help and hope only in the Lord. As we look through the rest of Psalm 121, we can see these steps. Look at verse 3 and 4. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. See, in verse 3, the Lord sustains our footing on this journey, even in the most turbulent times. The word for not in verse 2, or verse 3, excuse me, is the word that's normally used for requests. Right? This verse could be taken as a request, not as a statement. So that verse 4 kind of doesn't just repeat it, it builds on it. Think of it this way. May he not let your foot be moved, verse 3 could say. Or may he not slumber, followed by the answer, behold. Like, look, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He watches over us so that we know that we're never alone. And that's one of the scariest things in the world, beloved, is to be alone. You know, people feel that way all the time in the world. They feel like they have nobody. Even in a world with social media where you can go on your phone and your phone tells you you have like 500 friends. Oh, look at all these friends I have. They feel alone. That's the worst place we can be. But guess what, beloved? We are never alone. I love to tell us this as we leave church every Sunday, every Lord's Day. I say we never leave this place alone. Mostly because I need to hear that. I need to hear that. And I would think if I need to hear it, you need to hear it as well. We worship a God that's always there. That's always there every step of the journey. We would never want to worship a God who is asleep, would we? A God that sleeps is a God that's not always aware of the situation. Our God never slumbers or sleeps. Our God doesn't even take a nap. Right? Would you want to worship a God that you would have to wake up when things got bad? Right? God, I know you're sleeping. But could you just wake up for a little bit? I need some help. Who would worship that God? Nobody. I'd hope nobody would worship that God. Every time I think about a God who's sleeping, I think about that story from 1 Kings with Elijah and the prophets of Baal. I want to read a little bit of it because I think it just brings it out, right? The contest of whose God's the real God, the God who sleeps or the God who's almighty. Now listen to this from 1 Kings. And Elijah came to the people and said this, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. So what happens next? They set up the sacrifice. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it into pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull, lay it on wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. You remember the story, right? And as the prophets of Baal, they were out there and they were dancing and shouting and screaming for their God for a few hours. And this is what Elijah says. This is great. And so it was at noon, Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he's meditating or he's busy or he's on a journey. Or perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened." See, only false gods sleep. Now, the one true God doesn't sleep. Right? He's making fun of the gods of the world. Right? You could know that your God knows everything that's happening all the time. You don't have to wake him up. Throughout our journey, as we go through this journey, we never have to think that God's not paying attention. Going back to verse 4, behold, like, look, pay attention. He who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. What a comfort it is to know that. To know that whatever happens in our lives, and a lot does happen, sometimes we get sick and we weren't planning on it. Sometimes something comes up out of the blue and it takes us by surprise. It never takes God by surprise. Looking at verse 5, we look at that first phrase, the Lord is your keeper. See how personal that gets? The Lord is your keeper. Right? It was big. He was talking about all of Israel, but now he zooms into you. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord keeps you. The Lord protects you. You don't have to worry about being attacked by robbers or thieves. Remember when they're singing this song as they made their way to Jerusalem? It would give them hope that the Lord was protecting them every step of the way. But then it gets bigger than that, doesn't it? It goes to things that we can't control. Do you see how it went big? The Lord is your keeper. Then it goes into the Lord is controlling the sun and the moon. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Think about that. You know, I don't know how many of you grew up in a hot climate. I grew up in Southern California, where the sun would beat down on you all day. Right? When I was in elementary school, our elementary school had a blacktop. There was no grass, just no dirt. It was just blacktop, and the sun would beat on it. And we would get excited if a cloud showed up. One cloud. There's a cloud, because it would give shade. Think about that. One cloud. When you're always in the sun and then you feel that shade, you're like, it just feels so good. And that's what they're talking about here on this journey. The Lord would bring that shade to their right hand. Listen to what John Calvin says about verse 6. This is what he writes. The psalmist magnifies the advantages which result to us for having our God present with us. He declares in general that the faithful shall be safe from all adversaries, defended as they are by divine power. The language is metaphorical, the cold of night and the heat of day, denoting all kinds of inconveniences. The sense then is that although God's people may be subject in common with others to the miseries of human life, yet his shadow is always on their side to shield them. The Lord is your shade. The Lord gives you that cool when you need it. When things get tough or hot, so to speak, on our journey, it's the Lord who brings comfort. You could think of the Israelites on this journey to Jerusalem and the blessing it would be for them to know that the Lord was always present with them. Not only keeping watch, but bringing comfort as they journey to Jerusalem. What about us on our journey to the promised land? Do we think about it this way? How many of us, when things get tough, we just stop our journey and die in the desert? We start pouting. Never really remembering how close our God is. See, when we go through tough times, beloved, where do we look? Where's our gaze? Is our focus just on our problems? Do we feel that our problems are so insurmountable we don't know what to do and we just stop? Or do we ask the question, where does our help come from? We know the answer to that, don't we? I hope we know the answer to where our help comes from. Do we look at our problems? Do we look at the journey ahead and say, our help comes from the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth? We need to remember the promises he made to us. He's the ultimate promise keeper. Every promise to Israel is a promise to you. I want you to think about that. Every promise to Israel was a promise to you. It may be spiritual now, but it's a promise to you. If he promised Israel that he would neither slumber nor sleep, that's a promise for you. If he promised Israel that he would be their God and they would be his people, that's a promise for you. All the promises are for who? You and your children and those who are far off. See, we don't need to be afraid on this journey. You know how many promises are in this book? Every single one of them has come true. Why would we ever be afraid? Why would we ever think we are by ourselves when you have promise after promise of a God who loves you, who keeps you, who protects you, who's the comfort at your right hand? Well, let's look at the last two verses of Psalm 121, verses 7 and 8. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. See, the Lord promises to get you to the end. He promises to preserve you until you reach him. And that's not saying that verse 7 is telling us bad things won't happen. Of course bad things are going to happen. We live in a simple world. It doesn't say that we're going to live the good life and we're going to have everything that we want. But what it says is that he will be with us and help us make our way until we see him. See, think of Psalm 23 here, which we read in the prayer. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? If I was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I'd be afraid. Why shouldn't we fear evil? For thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, remember what we confessed earlier in the service. Remember what we confessed? What's your only comfort in life and in death? That I'm not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He's fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and he has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. Listen to this. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. Who's watching us? The Father. He's always watching. He's never not watching. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation because I belong to him. Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life. What did Psalm 121 say? Preserves our soul. He assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Now we got to read that verse 7 and 8 again. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in. Do you believe that? Do you hold on to that? One scholar writes this. The psalm ends with a pledge, which could hardly be stronger or more sweeping. The last line takes good care of us in this journey. And it would be hard to decide which half of it is more encouraging. The fact that it starts out from now, or that it runs on, not to the end of time, but without end. I'm going to read it. From this time forth, and even forevermore. Think about that. It runs not to the end of time, but without end, like God himself. Lord's going to preserve you. I love that. I love that. I hold on to that. I hope you hold on to those promises. Because as we continue on this journey to the promised land, we are going to face dangers, aren't we? We're going to face things that are going to scare us. We're going to face things that we didn't see coming. And you're going to be asked, hey, where does your help come from? And I hope you could say, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Because if you could say that, you shouldn't have a care in the world, a fear at all. You were completely covered. So as we read this, as we go through our family visits this year, beloved, hold on to the promises in Psalm 121. Grab that meditation in your box. Read through it. Pray with your family through the prompts in it. What a blessing it is to know that all of us are going to be on the same page, praying the same thing, going through the same psalm. And in the end, when we finally reach the end of our journey, we're not going to be with a God who sleeps. We're going to be with a God who loves us and knows us and watched every step of the way until we got to him. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, you know, we live in a world that's crazy. We live in a world that would just go, 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 go. And when things pop up, Lord, it kind of startles us. It scares us. But you knew that was going to happen. Lord, when we need help, Lord, I hope and pray, we do not look to ourselves, but we look to you, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who sustains heaven and earth. That's our God. The God who knows us. The God who wants to protect us. The God who would send his son to die for us. That's where our help comes from. In this life, Lord, on this journey, Lord, help us to remember those words. Help us to remember Psalm 121, that you won't allow our feet to be moved, that you neither slumber nor sleep. Help us to remember, Lord, that you're our keeper. Help us to remember, Lord, that you're our shade at our right hand and that you're going to preserve our soul. We'll never lose salvation. We'll be with you forever and ever. Oh, Lord, what a promise and what a prayer. Lord, thank you for those words. Help us to live those out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.